This is WSIU in Focus. I'm Kevin Boucher. The Illinois General Assembly blew past its scheduled May 31st adjournment date for the third time yesterday without reaching a final agreement on a comprehensive budget plan for the state of Illinois. Jack Tischner, interim director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, and John Jackson, visiting professor at the Simon Institute, are here in our studios. And Jack, we'll start with you first. You were at the Capitol all week. What happened, or I should say more importantly, what didn't happen?
Well, the oxygen had been pretty much sucked out of the place in the days leading up to the scheduled adjournment. We're in continuous session now in the House. That's kind of a code for the Democrats in the House were not really ready to pass the Senate Democrats' budget, that any tax increases will have to come with Republican votes. It's known for several days now that the Senate plan was nowhere close to the 60 votes that were needed for passage in the House, and the House Democrats just weren't willing to go it alone.
Why didn't the House Democrats go along? The majority is 67 votes, Dr. Jackson?
That's not enough to override a governor's veto. Remember, they didn't have the minimum of 60 votes even to pass the tax increase that are essential part of this package. You've got to have 71 votes to override a veto. You also need 71 votes for any bill to have an immediate effective date now that we're past the May 31st deadline. Even though the 2018 elections are way away, we like to think, election year politics are nevertheless casting a long shadow over everything that takes place in the Capitol this week. The House Democrats were saying basically, why pass a budget if there's no chance of it being signed by the governor and he had promised to veto it? And even if they do pass a budget with Democratic votes, they're setting themselves up for the next round of Republican attacks, and that would be blasting them for raising our taxes without enough of the reform package that the governor wants. There's already been a preemptive strike of sorts on the House Democrats this week with a round of robocalls going into targeted districts for next year. So next year's campaign is right on top of us.
There's also the fact that the Senate plan wasn't the House Democrats' idea in the first place. There's always been a big question about what the House Democrats would do with the Senate's version of a budget, and they had some pretty big problems with it. The House Democrats didn't like the fact that the budget assumed $1.5 billion and some savings that might be coming from pension reform and employee health insurance plans. They didn't like the cuts that would be made to higher education in this plan and Medicaid. They also had some misgivings about some aspects of the state sales tax being extended to services. And again, the House Democrats historically have always liked being in the driver's seat when it comes to budget making. And that's been a kind of a constant source of friction between them and the Senate Democrats. They don't like to be dictated to by the House.
Dr. Jackson, where are the Republicans?
Well, remember, a large part of the plan has been adopted from the revenue proposals that the Republicans said they were willing to go along with, provided they got enough of the reform that Governor Rauner has advocated as his price for signing off on a tax increase. A property tax freeze was at the top of the list, and Senate Democrats were willing to go along with a two-year freeze, while the Republicans wanted at least a four-year freeze as a part of what they called parity for raising the income tax rate. The Senate Democrats said 4 years would be too hard on local districts, especially school districts and local governmental units that depend on it and that rely heavily on property taxes for their basic operations. Republicans think the various reforms the Democrats were willing to go along with on workman's comp, procurement reform, and school funding didn't go far enough to satisfy the governor. They clearly didn't like any part of helping Chicago schools in the school funding reform package. They saw that and termed it a bailout for the Chicago public schools.
All right. It's June 1st, and what happens next?
Well, that's a good guess. One thing we can be pretty sure of is that the blame game will be going on from both parties' standpoints. Speaker Madigan says the House will hold hearings into the budget over the next few weeks to give his members a chance to weigh in on closing what he calls the Rauner budget deficit, which you can read as his way of putting blame on the governor for the whole impasse. The governor, for his part, is ripping the Democrats for trying to pass a massive tax increase without any of his reform agenda. So the war of words is going to go on for a few more days, a few more weeks, like it did in the run-up to this week's meltdown.
Has the magic number May 31st, has that kind of lost some of the sinister deadline appeal over the past couple of years?
Well, June 30th now is the real deadline, since that's the end of the current fiscal year. If they can't agree on some kind of spending plan after July 1st, that's when you see a real crisis, even chaos in the state, because that becomes a question of K through 12 schools opening on time in the fall. That's what worked last time to bring people mm-hmm. back to the bargaining table, and that's what may have to work again.
And now that, you know, we heard so much about the grand bargain, we have just about a minute left. Could some version of the grand bargain resurface?
I talked to some lawmakers this week about that, and they said that was a possibility. The Republicans are more hopeful of that still as a group than the Democrats are. You know, there's been talk, of course, of more stopgap budgets being drawn up as a kind of a safety mechanism. I don't think that's going to play very well with the bond rating companies. We're already hovering above junk bond status, but you know that happened to state universities a few weeks ago, and there was hardly a peep out of Springfield. I don't know that that's really, I don't even know if that's going to be a factor at this point.
Right. Thank you so much. That's Dr. John Jackson of the Illinois Public Policy Institute and Jack Tischner, Interim Director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. Thank you very much for talking with us this morning, both of you.
You're welcome.